Right, get ready for this deep dive. We're looking at this case today, United States v. Plaza Health Laboratories. It's going to make you think a little differently about what it means to pollute.
Yeah.
So it all starts with this guy, Geronimo Villegas. He was the VP of a blood testing lab over in Brooklyn.
Okay.
But here's where it gets kind of crazy. He ends up getting convicted under the Clean Water Act.
Really?
I know, right? You think Clean Water Act, you think like big factories dumping chemicals.
Yeah, industrial, like, you know, big corporations.
Huge stuff.
Right.
Not like one dude.
Right, exactly.
So that's what's so interesting about this case. It really challenges how we usually think about, like, who's a polluter?
Yeah, and what constitutes pollution. Right.
Exactly.
It's usually big companies, facilities, not, you know, individuals.
Yeah. So you're probably thinking, like, what did this guy even do? Was he, like, sneaking out barrels of medical waste in the middle of the night?
Right.
Like, what's the story here?
Yeah, it wasn't like, you know, barrels or anything like that, but he was transporting vials of contaminated blood.
Okay.
And get this, some of them even had hepatitis B in them.
Oh, wow.
From his lab in Brooklyn all the way to his home in New Jersey.
So he was, like, personally carrying these things around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's so weird about it.
Like, in his car or something? What was he thinking?
It seems like he was trying to, you know, dispose of them, but like on the down low, wedging these vials into these bulkheads along the Hudson River.
So instead of like going through the proper channels for medical waste, he's just using the Hudson River as his personal garbage can.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's kind of messed up.
Yeah. It's reckless and a huge health hazard. Think about it.
Yeah, big time.
A bunch of eighth graders on a field trip, they actually found a bunch of these vials like washed up on the shore of Staten Island.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine? Talk about a ruined field trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Yikes. So this deep dive, we're going to unpack this whole thing. Can a person, like just by their actions, actually be considered a point source of pollution under the law?
Right.
And the crazy thing is, the judges in this case, they weren't even all on the same page about it.
Yeah, they were divided.
A total split decision.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Okay, so how did they even try to, like, charge this guy under the Clean Water Act?
Yeah, you would think that's for, you know, companies and factories and stuff.
And not just some dude tossing vials in the river.
Right, dude, seems like a stretch. So what was their argument? Did they just say, well, he polluted the water, so he's guilty? Like, what was the logic there?
It's a little more nuanced than that. They focused on this very specific part of the Clean Water Act, this concept of a point source.
Okay, point source, yeah.
And believe it or not, they actually tried to argue that Villegas himself, specifically his hands, were the point source.
Whoa, 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 hold on. His hands. Like, his actual hands were the source of the pollution.
Yeah, that's what they were going for. Like, the vials were coming directly from his hands, so it was a direct discharge from a point source.
So basically, a person can, like, become a pollution pipeline.
Well, that's how they were trying to spin it. And they even tried to use a previous case to back them up, Appalachian Power QV EPA.
Hmm. I vaguely remember that one.
In that case, the court kind of took a broader view of what could count as a point source under the act. So the prosecution was hoping to use that to their advantage.
So their argument was basically, the law doesn't specifically say it can't be a person, so we're running with it.
Hmm.
Pretty bold. What did Villegas' lawyer say about that?
Oh, they pushed back hard.
Hmm.
Their counterargument was that a point source really implies some kind of like fixed structure or system for discharging pollutants.
I see. So like a pipe or a ditch or something like that.
Right. Not just a guy, you know, walking around with vials in his pockets.
I mean, that makes sense to me. If a law could send someone to jail, shouldn't it be crystal clear about what it means?
That's what they argued. Yeah. They brought up this legal principle called the rule of lenity, which essentially says if a criminal law isn't clear, the courts should interpret it in a way that's more favorable to the defendant.
So in this case, not counting Villegas' hands as a point source.
Exactly. So now we've got these two very different interpretations of the Clean Water Act clashing head to head. One that's all about preventing pollution no matter what, and the other saying, hey, hold on, criminal charges need to be based on clear language. It's a fascinating legal battle.
Totally. What did the court end up deciding?
Buckle up, because this case went all the way to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, and guess what? The judges couldn't agree.
A split decision. Man, this case is full of twists and turns. So did they buy the human hands or a point source argument? What happened?
Well, most of the judges actually sided with Villegas. They said, yeah, what he did was messed up and dangerous, but Trying to call his hands a point source was just taking the law too far.
Okay, that makes sense. They were sticking to the original intent of the Clean Water Act.
Right. It was designed to go after industrial polluters, not individuals, even if those individuals were doing stuff that harms the environment. They said there are other ways to deal with that kind of behavior.
I see. So what about the judges who disagreed? What was their reasoning?
The judge who dissented, he argued that getting too hung up on the specific words of the law missed the whole point.
Okay, so he was more focused on the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law.
Exactly. He said the Clean Water Act is fundamentally about protecting our water from any sorts of pollution. Doesn't matter if it's coming from a factory pipe or a person's hand.
I see. So he's basically saying pollution is pollution and the law should be able to deal with it regardless of who's causing it.
Exactly. He thought that saying individuals are completely exempt from the Clean Water Act would create this massive loophole that could totally undermine efforts to protect the environment.
Wow. Two very different philosophies at play here. This case is way more complex than it seemed at first.
It definitely is. It shows how tricky it can be to balance the need for strong environmental protections with the idea that laws need to be applied fairly and consistently, especially when it comes to criminal charges.
It really makes you think, huh? Like, you got this guy polluting Hudson, putting people's health at risk. But then you got to think about laws, you know, especially criminal laws. They got to be clear. You can't just, like, force someone into a law that wasn't really meant for them, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It shows how tricky environmental law can be, trying to be effective and fair at the same time. The Clean Water Act, they were thinking about big companies when they wrote that. Not really some guy with a few vials.
Yeah, definitely. And some people listening are probably thinking, like, okay, so this guy gets off because the law is not super clear. Does that mean I can just dump my trash in the river now? What do you think?
Great question. This case doesn't mean everyone's off the hook for polluting. There are other laws, other rules. They can address individual pollution. Depends on the situation.
Okay, so this specific case, maybe it doesn't set, like, a huge precedent, but it definitely makes you wonder, right? How do we handle those smaller scale cases that don't perfectly fit the law?
Definitely. And people are talking about that, about whether the Clean Water Act needs an update. Some people say we need to be more clear about individual actions. Others worry about, like, going too far, making too many things a crime, you know?
Tough situation for sure. Good arguments on both sides. But one thing's clear. It's not just about those big companies. It's about all of us taking responsibility and making sure our laws can actually handle any kind of environmental harm.
Exactly. Cases like this, they make us really think about these tough questions. How do we protect the environment? But also, how to make sure the law is fair?
Right, right. So listeners, here's something to think about. If you had to rewrite the Clean Water Act, how would you fix this? How would you make it strong enough to protect our water, but also fair and clear? It's a tough problem, and one we all need to care about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, everyone. Catch you next time.